In normal people, especially, Mazruni, who is still only 30, combined simplicity with sparkle. But her new book pushes her devotion to ordinariness to its logical extreme. She favours bland adjectives, such as little, clear, and thin. When Alice and Felix visit Rome, which may well contain the most impressive collection of objets d'art in the world, the reader is told peremptorily that Felix spent the morning wandering around the city looking at things. Intellectually, as well as stylistically, the tone is flat. Much of the book is given over to long, discursive email exchanges between Alice and Eileen, in which they observe that market capitalism is at odds with traditional conservatism, that plastic tat is ugly, and that the fall of the Soviet Union was momentous. Mazruni, an avowed Marxist, has implied in interviews that these views reflect her own. The problem is not that the ideas are right or wrong, but that they are predictable. The exchanges lack dialectical fizz, as Alice and Eileen generally agree with one another. That may be because both are projections of paths Mazruni herself has followed, or might have. Alice, a best-selling novelist who is struggling with the ambush of early unexpected fame, Eileen, the thwarted writer, too timorous to put pen to paper. The novel's most interesting feature is its handling of the church. Typically, fiction uses the clash between religious belief and the secular world to torment its characters. Here, Mazruni presents religion as a possible solution. Simon sees no conflict between his Catholicism and his vigorous and varied sex life. Alice and Eileen, non-believers both, are drawn to the consolations of Christianity. Remembering the first occasion she slept with Simon, Eileen thinks that it would have been a nice life for me if he had done the Christian thing and asked me to marry him. Alice admires the consistency of Catholic doctrine, in which beauty, truth, and goodness inhere in God. More than in her previous books, in Beautiful World, Where Are You?, Mazruni's political preoccupations have interfered with her craft. But a religious instinct seems also to loom behind her restrained prose, her aversion to vividness, her tendency to blur feelings and perceptions with qualifiers, vaguely is one of her favourite words, and a marked new reluctance to enter her characters' minds. The mix of asceticism and mysticism suggests an author who thinks the real action is happening in another realm. Whether her devoted readers are happy to live with the consequences may be a matter of faith.